thanks for joining us this afternoon, morning, wherever it is, whatever time it is, wherever you are. It's 1 o'clock for me here. Welcome, Hope from Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor. Today, I'm really excited to have Araba Joy with us here today. I've been kind of following Araba and listening to her and talking with her a little bit through the last few years, and have found her really encouraging. So I'm really excited that she has time to be here with us today. So I'm going to let her introduce herself to you now.
Yes.
Take it away.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me, Christy. It's a real privilege to be here. And I love your heart for moms and for getting the gospel to our kids. Super important. There couldn't really be anything more important than that. So I love what you guys do in this group. So for those who may not know me, my name is Araba Joy and I blog at arabajoy.com. I've got one husband, of course, and four kids. I know. Yeah, that's a relief, right? And we spent about 14 years on the mission field before coming back to the States, which we are now in the States. But being overseas kind of showed me how other believers in other parts of the world worship and do things, you know, the spiritual disciplines. So it's kind of been an interesting experience with that. And I think that kind of flavors a lot of what I do and what I share and talk about too. So it just kind of offers me a little different perspective on life than what is normal. So yeah, other than that, I'm really not that interesting of a person, but pretty normal, I think.
Yeah, I guess we're just all normal people, just passionate about certain things, right?
Exactly.
So can you talk a little bit about what it is you talk about?
Yeah, sure. So when I first arrived on the mission field, it was in the days of dial-up, and there was really no way to connect in the online space like there is now. And so what that meant for me is I was really isolated overseas. There weren't churches for us to go to. You know, we were there to plant the church. There weren't other believers for us to hang out with. There wasn't a community to fit in. When we first got there, we couldn't speak the language. So I was like deaf and mute, like literally. And all of a sudden, the only influence, the only voice speaking into my life was the scripture, because that's kind of really the only thing I had in English. Wow. And it was, yeah, I was really unprepared for that. You know, I didn't really think that far ahead going over there that I would be in this situation where I really had no noise in my life. And it was actually one of the best things that ever happened to me spiritually, because what ended up happening was all of the churchianity that I had experienced in my life. I grew up in church. I was saved as a young child, which is a good thing. But I learned a lot of rituals that aren't necessarily healthy inside the church. And so going overseas and being exposed to nothing but the scriptures for a period of time really was like a spiritual detox in my life. Wow. And all of those things that were kind of fake or surface just kind of began to drop away. And I learned how to really study the word for myself for the very first time. So whereas before I had Christian radio I listened to, I had commentaries that I would read, there were pastors that I would listen to, you know, maybe women's events every now and then. I didn't have any of that. I only had the Word of God, and I really had to learn how to study it on my own. And that is kind of, it was a unique experience for me, but I think that it's something that all of us need. We all need to know how to study the Word of God on our own and then pass those things on to our kids too.
Yeah, for sure. So did you have kids at this time?
I did not, no. So when we went overseas, I was 5 months pregnant with our first. So I had, all of my kids were born overseas, all four of them. Wow. Were born overseas. And I'm kind of glad for that too, because their early years were not they did not grow up in the church and have the same experience that I had. And there are good things about growing up in the church. You know, I don't want to say that it's all bad or negative.
Yeah.
But there are some pitfalls that come along with that. And I think one of the biggest ones is just being inoculated to the truth that you hear day in and day out.
That is exactly, you know, the word that I've used so often. Like, we just get little tiny bits of it, and it's just like an inoculation. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Into it. We're like, oh, I've heard it. Christmas story.
Right.
Story. And it's something I don't want to happen to my kids, but.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, we may not be able to do something about that, but we can at least be aware of it and mm-hmm. try to be intentional about how we present the gospel and how we talk about the things of the Lord. And I think that that does help.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we circle back a little bit, you were saying that you had to learn how to study the Bible for yourself. And I know that you've come up with some different, like, kind of paradigms or I'm not sure what you would call mm-hmm. them, paradigms or acronyms that really has helped you and have helped those who have followed you study the Bible. Are you willing to share one of those with us?
Yeah, sure. So one of them that I really like is called the Prosper Method, and it's an acronym I use just to kind of show different steps to go through as you study the Word. So just really quickly, the first P stands for pray. That's very simple. We all know to pray before we read the Word, and then the R is read. And then after that, each one is kind of an activity that you do. I space them over one entire week. Oh. So the O would be one that I do on Monday, and that's observe. So I will say Psalm 1. That's the passage I'm going to be looking at for a week. So I will pray and read the passage, the same passage every day. And then on Monday, I will do the O, which is observe. And that's just making observations about what is actually in the text. It's not making implications or assumptions about what the text means. It is just making observations. Like, this is what it says. This is why it says it. This is who is saying it. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. And then P-R-O-S is study. So I will pick one thing out of that text to go a little further into. One of my favorite ways to study is to do a word study. So maybe I will pick the word blessed and kind of do some cross-reference work with that, look up some definitions on that, look up synonyms, antonyms, that sort of thing, just to dig a little bit deeper into that one word. And then let's see if I can spell right, P-R-O-S-P. The second P is for ponder. And I take a day just to meditate on the passage. And so I kind of want to share this with the ladies here today, because meditation has been a real lifeline for me as a mom. I don't know if you guys struggle with always having a good quiet time, but I do. I do for sure. And especially when the kids were really little, and they always seemed to know when I would wake up. And I would set my alarm early to have quiet time, and then there they were. Like, within 5 minutes, I'm like, for real? Like, how does this happen? How do you know I'm getting up? You know, it was, I don't know how they do it, but seriously, they do. And I just really went, especially when I had three, ages two and under, I seemed to never get any time alone. And I know some of the moms out there probably can relate to this. It just seemed like I never had alone time. And so what I did was I would write a scripture for the day on a card. And if I could get that much done before a kid came out, I was doing really good. Yeah. And then I would just take that card with me throughout the day and meditate on it. I would ask questions like, what does this word mean? I would emphasize different words in the verse. I would ask, what is the cause of this? Say if there's a verb in that verse, what is the cause of this verb? What is the effect of this verb? What's the opposite of this verb? Just really starting to understand what the passage said and ask the Lord to make it clear to me. And just that one verse, I would carry it with me all day long. It really taught me how to go deeper with the Word of God and how to let my own heart marinate in it. And I really kind of feel like, you know, if you have a picture of this shark coming up and taking a bite of a fish in the water, I won't say a person because that would be terrible, but a fish, taking a bite of this fish, of a large fish in the water, and then leaving what he doesn't end up eating. That's kind of how a lot of us do with our Bible study. We'll take a bite out of it, but then we don't go back and like really have a full meal on that passage. And meditation allows us to really have a feast over one particular passage. And so I really learned how to do that as a young mom with young kids. I learned how to take one small thing and just marinate on it all day long and kind of suck the life out of it, you know, take everything I could from that one passage. And so I would just encourage you, if you're a mom and you're frustrated with not being able to spend a lot of, you know, time in the Word, like sitting down at the table or sitting down on your couch or in your chair with your Bible open, if you're not able to do a lot of that, just take a small passage and learn how to meditate on it. And that will nourish your spirit. I promise. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, where is it? I'm really bad at references, but I know it says in the Bible that the word of the Lord will never return void. You know, it goes out, does what it's supposed to do. And so when we're sitting, even just in one verse.
Yes.
In our hearts.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so then the E in prosper is engage. And so for this step, what I normally do is I put myself in the passage and see how it pertains to me. So I really try to envision, if this were me, what would it mean? What does it look like? And then the final R is respond. So how do I respond to this? And that basically ties in with the engage portion. Once I've really meditated on it, I've engaged with it, I've really used my imagination with the passage, then I have a better understanding of how to respond and implement it right into my life, because we want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that final day that I look at the passage, I really focus on implementation and how I can apply it to my life. So that's just a really quick, and that's one way to study God's word. You know, there are so many ways to get into the scriptures. I feel like if you find a way that works for you, that's great, you know, and maybe you can create your own acronym, you know?
Yeah. Lots of fun acronyms. Did you create the Apple one too?
Yes, the Apple is another one that I created. That is really different things I look for in a text. So like the A is for attributes, the attributes of God. P is for promises. I think the other P is like for principles. L is for a lesson learned, and E, an example to follow. So those are just things that if I'm sitting down with a passage, I just look, that those would fall under actually the O, the observation.
Okay.
Those would be things that I would observe about a passage. So those are just some favorite things that I like to look for. So, but yeah, there's just so many ways to dig into God's word and to make it exciting. You know, it shouldn't be a boring thing.
Yeah, no, that's often what it is. We're like, oh, I gotta do my Bible study now.
But yeah, yeah.
So super interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she said that she takes a passage, and when she finds something that kind of strikes her, she takes a screenshot of it. She turns it on, it's just right there. She can't even, like, even just look at the time, it's right there. I thought, okay, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, because we look at our phones a lot. So. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to get the word in our heart.
Yeah, to just have it right there. And then she just kind of changes it as God gives her new things. So I think I might actually start doing that. That's great. It really fits with this prosper method that you were talking about. Sit with it for a whole week. So then you just have
Right.
screen. Boy, you don't even need to sit down and write it out. You just take a picture of it.
Right. Right. Yeah, you'll have it memorized.
Yeah. Surely the kids would, you know, not get in there before we could take a picture of it.
Yeah. Tell them five seconds. That's all I
That's
need.
Right. In the bathroom. Okay, so obviously God's done some awesome stuff in you as you've been, you know, connecting more with Him and getting in the Word and stuff. So I have this question for you. Hopefully it's not going to throw you off too much, but can you think of a time when really you've just grown in this fruit of joy in your life? So the context for that is that we've been studying joy for the last month. So those who are new would not have been studying joy. We just had a few people join last week, but over October, that's what we were studying. Mm-hmm. So is there a time when, I mean, it's a fruit, right? As we spend more time with God, He grows this fruit in us. So is there maybe a fruit
yeah.
you can think of or a story?
Yeah. Yeah, actually there is. And unfortunately, this isn't something that I experience on an everyday basis, but I should. But there was a time when I was overseas on the mission field, and so my husband and I agreed, because we didn't have a church community that we went to, we agreed that every Sunday we would give each other turns to go off to a little private area and spend half a day. So I took the mornings and he would take the afternoons to kind of have our own little Sabbath. Mm. And so I would go to an office that was, nobody was there except me. And I would really just spend some time in personal worship. And I would play music. I would lip sync so as not to disturb the neighbors. It was really weird, I'm sure, if anybody were to see me. But I really just spent that time pouring out my heart to the Lord and worshiping and standing in awe of Him. That's really what I describe worship as. When I can get my heart to a place of being like, wow, God, you're amazing. If I can get to that place, that's what I really define as worship. And so during that time, and we probably did this for a good year or so, where we would give each other that half of a day, I really experienced joy like I've never experienced before. And honestly, I think it was because I was taking deliberate time to worship the Lord and cultivate that sense of awe at God, at who He is, and not think about circumstances in life or all the things I had to do or all the ways I was failing my kids, you know, like all the things. But just really deliberately saying, God, you are amazing. You know, just the fact that you humbled yourself to come to earth, the fact that you forgive sinners, you know, like all of the things that really make God amazing. And just deliberately sitting with that and appreciating it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that has done more for joy in my life than anything that I can think of. And I really need to spend, there's really no reason why we shouldn't spend time doing that every day. But that was a really special season in my life when I did cultivate that. And it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's interesting. There seems to be a connection between like worship and joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like there's also a connection between gratitude and a lack of
Yeah.
gratitude and peace, because when we feel more grateful, or when we're speaking gratitude, we become like mm-hmm. this. So there's the cure for joy. It works.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great to know.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, if anybody were to tell us, oh, just think about all of my great attributes, we would be like, something's wrong with you. You have like an ego trip. But God, you know, but God tells us that because it's good for us, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that He knows He's deserving of praise, you know? But He doesn't tell us to worship Him because He's on an ego trip or wants to feel good about Himself, you know? He's telling us to give thanks or to worship because it's good for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we take the time just to obey those things, we really understand why he wants us to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we will.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah. So if we can transition a little bit to you as a mom, is there something, wait, first of all, I don't think you ever told us, how old are your kids now?
Oh my goodness. So my oldest is now 17. Okay. I can't believe it. Makes me one of those older moms.
Gives you the ability to kind of look back and say, like, you know, these are things that I actually am seeing in my kids now. It's not just.
Yeah. Yes.
You.
So, right. Yes. So then I have two girls. They are both 12. They're not twins. People ask me a lot, are they twins? And when they hear they're both 12, no, they're not. One is adopted, one's biological. And they're extremely different. They're night and day different. And then I have a son who is 10. He's my youngest. Okay. So I've got two boys and two girls.
Cool. All right. So, okay. That makes it easier to answer this question, I hope. What are some like effective ways for you and your family and your kids that have really worked for you with sharing Christ with your kids? I know all our kids are a little bit different and our family dynamics, but is there something where you've been like, yeah, I think I see that working and, you know, making, God is using that to make changes in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, you know, honestly, it's hard to always know what's clicking, especially when you're in the trenches, right? So that's really a hard question, but I will say that when I talk to my kids about things that are going on in their lives, like things that are important to them, that's really when I see the most openness and it feels like it's hitting its mark. Hmm. I feel like when we talk about, say, you know, after church on Sundays, we normally try to talk about what the message was on and those sorts of things. And that's good. But it just is different when I see, when they talk about their day, mm-hmm. and I see an opportunity to say, oh, well, hey, well, what do you think about that? Well, what do you think God's word says about that? And why? Why does this matter? You know, why does what God says matter? What would be the outcomes if we don't consider what God's word says? You know, those kinds of things, I can see them really getting some traction with what I'm trying to share. And even the gospel, you know, understanding our need for a savior. Mm-hmm. And if they fall short, for example, I have one child who is really sensitive to people's approval or lack of approval of him. Aww. And so, yeah, and it makes it really kind of a delicate situation, but it's helpful in that I'm able to share, okay, the good news of the gospel, mm-hmm. because he is so sensitive to those things. I'm able to say, you know what? God doesn't require us to be perfect. That's why we have a savior. You know, he knows that we're not. And just being able to talk about the gospel and Christ as it comes up in their own lives. That's what I have really found most resonates with them the most.
Yeah. That makes total sense. Like it's going to be the thing that impacts them most. Although I think that things like you were saying, you try to talk about the sermon after church. I think that those things kind of keep that door open so that you want to have those kind of conversations with them, the ones that are really meaningful. It's not like, wow, Mom, that kid totally came out of nowhere. I didn't even know you ever talked about God. So it kind of keeps that door open so that sometimes you can then walk through it and have these really like Kairos moments like they might talk about.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. All right. Thanks for sharing that. That's really neat because it's not something we can manufacture. It's something that we can look for, but we can't just kind of create. But something that we can sort of create a... We can create a house that is open toward these kind of things, right?
Right.
By habits and, you know, we're talking about God regularly. And then when they happen, we're like, oh, yeah, by the way.
Right. Yeah, just keeping it open to communicate, making God a normal part of the conversation in our homes.
Yeah, exactly. Making him a normal part of the conversation. I like that. Good phrase. Mm-hmm. I know that you and your husband are both missionaries. So do you find that when it comes to like talking to your, having these conversations with your kids, it's a pretty good balance between the two of you? Or do you find that you do most of it because you're with them more? Or,
you know, that's a really good question too. I would say that our approach is pretty different. My husband is, he has a PhD.
Wow.
So he's kind of a more academic mind than I am. I'm kind of more of a touchy-feely kind of person, I think, than he is. And so our approach is really quite different. So at the dinner table, we try to do it several times a week. We may not get to it every night, but several times a week, we try to do scripture reading. And that's kind of what we do for family devotions. Because it's the table is where we're all at, right? So we've made that a priority in our home for years. And so it just kind of seems to be the natural place to do our Bible time too. And so his approach is very like, okay, we're going to read the next passage of scripture. And that's great. Mm-hmm. My approach is more, I try to sense where my kids are and have discussions around that, like we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And see where their heart is. Like, where is the need in their heart? Are they feeling discouraged, or are they angry about something, or are they anxious? You know, like, where is the need? How are they coping right now in this space and in this day? And then to kind of use that as a springboard to bring up a spiritual truth or a gospel-centered conversation, or, you know, just talk about a scripture that might help them. So I feel like we balance out each other in the academic versus the emotion driven, maybe. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but you know, kind of the more spirit heart approach to having these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Versus like the other way would be like more like a catechism. Like we're following
and
learning things methodically, which is important.
Right.
That's great. I love that you balance each other out like that. That's very cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I do. I'm very blessed because my husband is a believer, and I know not everyone has a believing husband. And so, you know, in that situation, I say just do what you do best. You know, don't try to be all the things and do all the things. Just, you know, do what you do best. And the Lord, you know, he fills in the gaps. I mean, that's what he does for us. And none of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. And we all have to rely on him, you know, to do ultimately his part. And that is a spiritual part in the work of the Spirit to really connect with our kids' hearts.
Absolutely. He's the one that is calling our kids. And he loves them more than we
do. Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yes.
No, none of us can cover it all because it's only God that can do that. So for me, I would say,
yeah,
be more like your husband in that way, that I'm like, okay, let's read the next chapter. And then there's nobody really then doing like the how's your heart kind of stuff. But this is good
for
me to continue to do that. But also a reminder that I don't have to do it all, right? God is for
right.
my kids.
Yes.
And for our kids. And I love that. I think as my kids get older, my husband starts talking about more about this stuff. Mm-hmm. He's like, he is also very like intellectual and super smart.
So yeah, yeah.
He definitely wants to have some of those conversations with them, but he just doesn't feel like they're quite ready for that yet. So,
mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, when they're young, it's hard to have those really meaty heart to heart. Like, let's get into this and
what does this really mean? Yeah. So let's do more of that. Well, we always joke that I was going to be the one that would raise them until 12, and then he was going to do the rest. So. the spiritual part of our lives when we get
yeah that's neat that's good.
different strengths. Yeah, that's great. So is there anything else that you wanted to share with us before we left? I know I'm going to ask you for sure to tell us where we can find you online, but before that, is there anything else that you were like, I really want to tell them this or share this?
I'll try to make this really quickly, but you know, I remember when my kids, especially when they were really young, I felt like I failed all the time as a parent. And I still feel that way sometimes now, but back then I really felt it. And I guess it was because I was with them all the time and I was the only one that they were with, you know, and I was like, ugh. But I remember just being very anxious about the way I was raising them or what they were seeing in me. And I knew that I wasn't always the best example for them. And I felt a lot of shame about that and a lot of condemnation. And I remember one day the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, AJ, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your ability to parent them well? Are you trusting in me?
Wow.
And that question really was a game changer for me because it made me realize all of my anxiety was actually an expression of my trust in my own parenting abilities to help my kids turn out right. And he really kind of called me on the carpet. And I had to readjust my trust and say, Lord, I do trust you. I trust you that even when I fail, just flat out fail and do things wrong and even sin against my kids, you are still the Redeemer. You are Savior. You are the one who is perfect. And my perfection is in you. And they can see you even when I am not a perfect representation of you. And that has really helped me so many times as a mom, just be able to overcome that mom guilt and the shame. Just remember, I ultimately cannot trust in my own parenting abilities. You know, I am trusting in the Lord, and he is trustworthy. Like anyone who trusts in him, the Bible says, will not be disappointed. So when I place my trust in him and I shift it from me to him, I'm not going to be disappointed. He's not going to let me down. And so I would just have that word of encouragement to any mom out there who might be discouraged, you know. Just remember to place your trust in him because he's got you. He's got you. And he does not expect us to be perfect as parents. He knows we can't be. Not that we should just deliberately go out and try to do things wrong, you know. But, I mean, we obviously do the best we can. But you know, we're going to fail. I mean, it's a fact of just our humanness. And so, ultimately, trusting in the Lord is where we have hope as moms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
So yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the gospel.
It reminds me of the other day, we were just kind of wrapping up our joy study. And I was asking my boys, like, do you know anybody who really just seems filled with joy all the time? And my oldest son said, a friend of mine, and my middle son looked at me and he's like, you.
Oh, I love that. Praise the Lord.
You're still seeing Jesus in me. And I was like, oh.
That is awesome.
So thanks God, because that's only you.
Yes, yes.
So anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I appreciate it. And I really hope I can find the other half of that video. If you can send me maybe a couple links to like the best posts or something that we can take a look at about the process.
Sure.
Study. Because I'm sure they're going to want to go and look at it again later. I wrote it down, but
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I can do that.
Go and look at that again later. Can you also share with us like where we can find you online and we can hear more of your encouragement?
Yeah, sure. So the best place to find me is at my website, which is arabajoy.com. It's just my name. And I have a lot of resources there on Bible study, on prayer, different things. So yeah, feel free to just look around.
I will. We will. I've spent lots of time on your blog. I think I've signed up for like 7 or 8 different.
I have a lot.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. You guys, Erba sends a great email on Sundays that you should read. So I used to really love coming home from like working on Sundays. And I was like, oh, email. It's just what I needed.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that.
All right. Thanks so much. I'm going to let you go now. Bye, guys. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you, Christy. Okay,
bye.
Bye, guys.